Scripture this morning is from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. That's Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills.
In the midst of the busyness that is just this time of year, as we are preparing for food and family and fellowship, maybe a bit of football, as we're busy with the work of preparing the house or packing the bags or preparing the food or arranging the schedule or doing one of several thousand things that need to be done, realizing there's not nearly enough time to get it all done to begin with, in the midst of all of that magical mess, it's good for us to come together as we are this morning and set all of that to the side and to focus our attention on worshiping God together. So glad to see you this morning. If you're one of our visitors, please know we are so very blessed and graced that you're here with us. Let me begin by saying this. If you remember nothing else from these next few moments, if you recall nothing else from this message, remember this. Thanksgiving, like happiness, is less about the conditions of our life and more about the decisions of our mind. Thanksgiving is not about condition, it's about decision. And that seems like it should not be the case. In fact, we think just the opposite, sadly so often. Oh, if only I would. If only I had this, I would be happy. If only I could be over here, I would be content. If only this would happen in just this way, well, then I'd have something to be thankful for. But because this hasn't happened, because these people aren't doing what I think they should, because everything is not falling into place just as I might desire, because everything is falling apart around my ears, because it's all becoming less so than I would want, I'll postpone my Thanksgiving until I have something truly to give thanks for. I'll postpone my happiness until something happens to make me that way. But for the time being, I'll just grit my teeth, clench my fists, and wait it out until better times come. Now, we know that should not be the way we think. And yet we still find ourselves from time to time thinking that way. In our text this morning from the last of Habakkuk, a little known, seldom traveled book of the Old Testament, one of the more minor of the minor prophets, ends his little missive in a strange way, describing a situation much like Job's state in his first chapter when everything just begins to fall apart. And Habakkuk speaks of those times when there's no livestock in the stalls. Nothing in the field is growing. Everything has gone wrong, and everything is a loss. And yet he says, in spite of all of that, just as Job said in Job 1, in spite of all of that, we'll worship. We'll have praise. We might say, given the time of year it is now, we'll give thanks. Which is no less than the Bible teaches, entirely through the entirety of the book. Paul will say in Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He'll say in just a few verses after, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul will say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul will say in Colossians 4, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And yet still we fall back on that tired trope of, well, I would if. I would do more if only. But I haven't, so I won't. Which, again, remember, has nothing to do, really, with what Thanksgiving is all about. If we only give thanks for the bounty we have, what do we do when we don't have that bounty? If we only give thanks when things are going well, what do we do when things begin to unravel? And what the Bible teaches is hard to adopt this as practice. I realize it's a process of a lifetime of learning and growth, but what we've come to learn is that, just as we've said, true happiness and thanksgiving is not about what you have. It's not even about what's going on. It's not about what others are doing. It's not about the conditions of your world. It's about a decision you make within your own mind that regardless, good times or bad, with much or with little, I have resolved to be thankful. In everything, give thanks. We've all seen it. Somebody that seems to have everything going for them. It just seems as if they were born with a silver spoon in their mouths and they never had to work a day in their life and everything was just given to them. And they have more than we'll ever have. They'll throw away more than we'll ever earn. They will waste more than we can ever accumulate. They have everything. And yet you look into their lives and you see misery and upset and angst and worry and the opposite of thanksgiving. And you've also seen people who you wonder about. They seem a little quirkish because they are the forgotten of people. They don't have much. They've never had much. They'll live and die and go to the graves never having accumulated much of this world's goods. And yet, you peer into their lives and these quirkish souls oftentimes are so very cheerful and pleasant and helpful and optimistic and fueled and fired by faith that those with more simply can't get their minds around having. And you realize, just with looking around, that just having more stuff does not make people more thankful. Having a bigger bounty of blessings doesn't make us happier. So oftentimes, we come to learn in the difficult times what it really means to be happy and how to achieve it and what it means to be thankful and why to be so. And the Bible gives us examples of this as well. Who's the richest person in the Bible by the world standards? It'd have to be Solomon, I think. Solomon. We could spend some time talking about all he had, but read up for it yourself. You'll find out on your own if you want to, but just take my word for it. He was rich. Solomon was the Elon Musk or Bill Gates of his day. He had everything, not just in terms of money, but in terms of influence and power. And yet that little book of Ecclesiastes he by inspiration wrote is a book full of words like striving after the wind, words like vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The man that had everything didn't have the one thing he needed most. And that is a true sense of happiness and contentment and genuine thanksgiving. Now you fast forward yourself into the New Testament and you find another man very unlike Solomon. A man that had almost nothing ever. A man that had been hungry, who had suffered need, who had been beaten, who had been scourged, who had been stoned with rocks, who had been shipwrecked, who had been in peril of his own countrymen and of robbers, a man who finally gave up his life ahead of time, unfairly, executed by the state, a man with almost nothing of this world's goods. And he's the one who said, rejoice in the Lord always. He's the one that said, in everything give thanks. He's the one we think of when we think of, there's a man who is full of thanksgiving. And I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. Here Solomon has it all, except he doesn't have what he needs most. And here's Paul that doesn't have anything, but he has what he needs most. And he acknowledges that. He realizes that. He embraces that. He's thankful for that. And these two men, if nothing else did, would prove to us the fact we're talking about. Thanksgiving has nothing to do with your conditions. It has everything to do with your decision. Deciding regardless, in spite of anything, whether much or little, bounty or blast, I am thankful. The Lord is good. The Lord has seen me through to this point, and He's promised to see me through to the end. And in Christ, He promises to be with me through eternity. I have a God in heaven who loves me, and I love Him, and I am thankful. And when the dust of this holiday is swept away by the winds of history, I hope that you, like myself, can reflect upon this time and genuinely say to self, yes. In spite of the mess of the season and the schedules I've had to endure and the people I've had to be around and the arguments that they've tried to start, regardless of all of that swirling dervish of a mess of the holiday, I have decided I'm thankful. And if I'm thankful, I've done for Thanksgiving what it deserves. And I've done for God what He expects. I'm thankful. I am, and I hope you are too. If you're here this morning and outside of Christ, don't leave this assembly in that condition. If you're an unfaithful child of God, don't leave in that condition. But if you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.